Greetings to each one in our Lord and Savior's name. Let's feel the need to bow for a word of prayer. So let's pray. Yes, Father, which art in heaven. Father, we do come to you, Father, in your dear Son's name this morning. Father, we're just very grateful for this time, for this opportunity. Father, we ask that you would do that work in our hearts, Father, in my heart, that you desire to do today. Father, we desire to worship you in truth and in spirit this day, Lord. Father, we pray that you would quiet my heart and my stammering tongue, Lord, and that I would speak only the things that you would have me to speak, Father. And Father, we desire to honor and glorify you in all things. We desire to draw closer to you. We desire that you are lifted up and exalted this day, Father. So, Father, may your will be done in our hearts and lives. We do thank you for each one and do ask you to bless and further establish each one of us further in your kingdom. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you a little bit what the Lord is doing in my heart, what the needs in my life. As we are born again and endeavor to be faithful each day, I really appreciated what Mark had shared about once we thirst of that living water, we will never thirst again. And that's very true, and we're thankful for that this morning. There's a lot of security that we can have in that, and there's a beautiful promise there. But what should I be doing in addition to that, so I don't want to say this rightly. It says we'll never thirst again, but I think I can turn my heart away from it. I can make that choice to turn my heart away from it. So what can I do to endeavor to be a faithful soldier and to be faithful? And I don't want to, it's not my heart trying to add to what his message, I was very blessed with that. And that it's just something the Lord has been doing in my life when things get busy in life and this week was a little bit different. Japheth, he was been sick all week, and so it's good for me to you know how it goes. Your wife takes a turn at night, and then you take a turn, and just continue the cycle. And so when Dad used to go into bed and just sleep the whole night, you know, so all those things in life, we all face them. And I'm grateful for those opportunities, what the Lord does in my heart through that. As we journey through life and the rubber continues to meet the road, How do I respond to situations and to what is coming forth from my life and so forth? And so let's turn to Ephesians 6. I really appreciate this chapter here, that there's a beginning there, give some direction to children, to the parents, and servants and masters. But we want to go on down to, let's break in at verse 10 there. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make the gospel, to make known the mystery of the gospel." We'll stop there for now. I appreciate this passage here. When Paul wrote this, I'm assuming he was writing literally about a soldier, one of the Roman soldiers possibly. And when you picture this, this soldier, he was there. He had to defend himself, but also to march forward and to be able to take on his foes. I imagine he wasn't just to cower in a corner and just try to, you know, knock anything off that comes, but he was, you know, had the shield and the helmet and his feet shod with peace and the breastplate of righteousness and his loins were loins girded about with truth. And so it's just a beautiful picture that I appreciate. And so he says there in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, so besides all else, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Put on, verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So we're to put on the whole armor, complete in every part, entire, so we can able to stand against the trickery and the lie in wait, the trickeries of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And verse 13, "Wherefore take ye unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And so when you think of, there's a verse there in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we have received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which worketh also in you that believe, which worketh effectually, and also in which you have, in you that believe." And when we have truth, as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And truth just when we're not standing on truth, when my life isn't on truth, and I'm not living in truth, it will brings a lot of problems in our lives. And as there in John 8, it also says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that's just a very beautiful promise there that we have. And righteousness, when you think of righteousness, I just really appreciated when I looked up righteousness in the 1828, it says purity of heart and rectitude of life. Conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Applied to God, the perfection of or holiness or nature, exact rectitude, faithfulness, the active and passive obedience of Christ by which the law of God is fulfilled. So it's purity in my heart and in my life, and the active and passive obedience of Christ. It includes all areas of our life. And Christ was he was sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so our righteousness is in Him, and I'm just very, very grateful for that Christ has died for us, that we can be righteous before Him. And in Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So verse 15, "And your sheep and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So it'd be, and your feet shod with the preparation, where we'd be prepared, we'd be ready to provide the gospel of peace. And when you think of that our feet are shod with peace and we are ready to provide that gospel at any given time, that brings joy in my heart. I picture that, and I want that more for my life, and that we, as Brother Mark shared, that you don't only see it, you don't hear it necessarily, but you see it by a person's life, and that is just a beautiful picture as we are surrendered to God, and as He has promised, He blesses us with the Holy Spirit and brings life to us, and we can have it more abundantly. And I also, when Agrippa was questioning Paul there in Acts 20:26, Paul had shared his testimony there to him about how he used to persecute the Christians and throw them into prison, and but then when he was on the road to Damascus, a big light from heaven came down and stopped him in his tracks there. And I'll read a little bit there in Acts 26:14-18. "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And when you think of the gospel of peace, and you think of verse 18 there, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So Satan, he brings confusion and unrest, but God, he brings peace, which passes all understanding, which he has promised and which we're very grateful for this morning. And then it says that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so they will receive forgiveness of sins and will become a child of God. And from the power of Satan to the power of God. That's just very beautiful and thankful that God has done that for me and for each one here, I trust, and is doing, continuing to do. And the gospel, it's just amazing what the gospel does to a person's life. As we surrender to Him, and it makes a person meek and lowly and broken in heart, which is just very, very beautiful as we seek to reflect our, like Jesus Christ. And I had to think sent out Paul to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And have I made that personal commitment, that personal choice to God? Do I feel that I have been sent in that way? Have I made that commitment in my life to make that personal commitment to be sent each day, each minute, whenever, any situation that we are in, that I bring the gospel of peace to each situation? Or am I contentious and want to have my own way, and not want to lay my own agenda down? That was very good for me to consider. Yeah, and what is my purpose and my goal in life? What are my passions? Why do I believe that I'm here? Am I here to get real comfortable and to please myself? Or am I here to continue to take the gospel of peace in word and in deed? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. That's very beautiful. I'm thankful that God will continue to do that. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, a shield, just a cover, or to cover from danger, to defend or protect. And we think of faith, and Brother Dale has shared quite a bit on faith, which I really appreciate. And you think of some of the faithful men in the past. You think of Moses, how he lifted his arm there and led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. The faith that he had there in doing that. And the ones behind them weren't so fortunate. They all got swept away. And you think of Abraham, the how God had that account there with him, and he met with him, and he said his wife Sarah is going to bear a child. And you know, they were like, it said he laughed. He put his face to the ground and he laughed. And and then God asked him to sacrifice. Well, he had told him, you know, his seed will grow abundantly, and he will be king of many nations, that Abraham will. And so then he just had made just a beautiful account there of how the promises he made to Abraham and communicated there with him. And then he asked Abraham to give up Isaac, and you know, they journeyed for a couple of days. And can you imagine what Abraham, what he had felt like after he had his only son here now? And God made those promises to him, and he had probably felt like God was God was not following through, and God was giving up, that God he probably felt forsaken. But God had asked him to give his son up, so he wouldn't be faithful in doing that. And he, you know, I believe he said there that he can raise him from the dead if he chooses so. So, as they journeyed there, can you imagine what he had going through his mind? He had many times to change his mind if he would have wanted to. He'd had plenty of opportunity there. But the faith that he had, he had the faith that he had in God, is very beautiful there, that he trusted in God. He didn't say, okay, God, I'm not going to go any further here until you tell me what this is all about, or you told me this and this and this, and so now I'm not going to go. You know, what are you doing to me? You know, that's too quick could be my response, and want to know everything before I take action. But he took action, and he had surrendered his son, and so that's just, I want more of that faith in my life, and to where I don't have to know all the unforeseen, because you think of, wasn't there a time there with Noah? How many years was it when God had told Noah to build the ark till God came back and met with him again? I was told there was around 120 years, which I could be wrong. I could be wrong there. I'm not sure. And would be, I'd accept anyone's correction there. But the point is, when God commands us, do I always need confirmation, his, you know, once he commands me, am I willing to just go and continue to walk faithfully in that way? Or do I need him continue to visit me? And hear me right. Yeah, you understand my heart there. And also, there was Matthew 8, when that centurion came to him, and he said, when Jesus was coming to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. What I believe Jesus is still desiring to do that today, physically and spiritually. If that, and that part there where it says, for I'm a man under authority, says, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Then he goes on to say, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. You think of our relationship with the Father and faith. I think that when the Lord says, go, and then we go, and come, and we come. May it be more that way in my life. And you think of our children and our authority with them, and does it mean anything to them? I haven't had the privilege to start learning this much yet, but if it doesn't mean anything to them, then why doesn't it? What's in my own heart that it doesn't? And so if someone doesn't want to listen to me, then what am I doing? What's coming off of my character, my tone, or whatever, that they wouldn't want to obey me? And so I look forward to those opportunities also. And there's a it says, the word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it also says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet ye and are yet in your sins. And faith takes action. You know, and God wants us to exercise that faith. And if we truly believe it, we'll take action. And it says, even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. And So I think that makes it pretty clear. So, yeah, I just desire to have more of that faith at work in my life and to be more faithful in that way. And as God communicates to us through His Spirit and through His Word, may we not too often it seems that we can disregard His Word to a point and wanting for Him to communicate a little bit more, you know, but we have His Word and He has left it for us for our betterment, you know, and it's so yeah, that should be enough. I believe in my for us to take action. And verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. When my grown up years, I made poor decisions and I wore a helmet for a while. And a helmet protects you a lot. So when you think of the helmet of salvation, and it's on your head, and that's where the human body, we need our head. We need our brains protected. And you think of Christ, and it just really blessed me how he came into this world. He was born of a Virgin Mary, the Son of God. He was born in a stable. He walked on this earth just as we do. And He lived a sinless life. And then He was crucified and rose again the third day. This was according to God's will. According, Jesus laid down His life for us in that way. And then, yes, He was resurrected the third day. And He has conquered all those evil powers. And it's in Him that we can be faithful and that we can have our salvation. And so I'm just very thankful for his resurrection, that He has triumphed. And then Luke 2, there's Simeon. They had taken Jesus to do all the circumcision and to give forth their sacrifice. Mary and Joseph did, and then later on, Simeon there, a man in Jerusalem, he was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now thou lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I believe this might understand or take here, this was an older man. And if you think of him holding Jesus, and he's, you know, he can already hold him. He's like, you know, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And it, I'm sure the joy that brought to his heart. And it says that light, and Jesus will be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And we are Gentiles. And he desires to light our way each day. And that's, I'm thankful for that, that he desires and will continue to do that as we allow him to. And then Martha, there in John, she said, Jesus, if thou hast been here, my brother have not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's a very beautiful, beautiful promise there as we, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then it gets real personal. He says, believest thou this? So if we believe that and live, if we live according to him, his will and his word and believe in him, we shall never die. And the, if you think of the sword of the Spirit, a sword is something real powerful. I have never used one really, nor a machete or anything like that. There's these things that they use that are somewhat similar that they cut grass with that I've really never used. Oh, it's a machete, I think. But it can do a lot when it's used in the right manner. And it says just the same way is the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm thankful that the Word of God is that. And I want it to continue to do that in my life. If we allow it to be quick and powerful and divide things, it says, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The sword brings clarity to things. Evil and good is not mixed up with the sword, with the Word of God. And Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I'm not come to send peace, but a sword. For me, I'm like, you know, you kind of want to think, Jesus not come to send peace? But what I think what he's trying to say there is there's two kingdoms and they don't all think the same way. They don't have the same value system, same goals. There'll be different fruits coming from the two kingdoms from their lives. And so not everyone may think the same way as, or not everyone will think the same way as God's children think. So we don't have to get worried if someone don't agree with us. He says, but we have the, he gives us the sword that can bring clarity to all those things. And then so you have a soldier that's fully armed, and there in Luke 11 it says, Luke 11:21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. So this account here, Jesus, they were accusing Jesus of casting out devils in Beelzebub's name. And then there in verse 20 says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man arm keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So, you have here, Jesus talking about a person when the devils are cast out of him. And so the devils depart, the evil spirits depart, but they want to find a place to rest. And so they get roaming around, and they come back to the person where they departed, they got cast out from. And they're like, oh, it's swept and garnished, meaning things are taken care of, and he is keeping up with his spiritual life, and he's got his armor on, and the evil spirits are not coming back in. And so then they depart, but then he goes out and gets seven other spirits, and then they were somehow able to get back into the man. And now the man is in worse shape than he was at first. And so there's a couple of things there that I appreciate a lot. It says, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. That's a picture. I want that for my life, and that our lives are swept and garnished. And there's righteousness there, purity and holiness, and to where there's truth, and all these things are being exercised in my heart and life, and that we see him coming and we fight him off. But if I'm mixing evil with good and good with evil and everything else in between, and not keeping everything swept and garnished, then he can come in a lot easier. And you think of us as fathers. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. our palace per se, our house, our children's hearts, our hearts and lives, and when we keep those, our goods are in peace, our children are in peace, and God can thrive there. But it says, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. So if I'm, how do we stay armed? You know, we need to stay armed. So the stronger, so the devil has been overcome by Jesus Christ. And so we, greater is he that is in us than him of the world. But we have to choose that. I have to make choices in my life to continue to choose that and to each day stay armed, to keep my armor on so I'm not vulnerable. So we're not, at any given time, the enemy can't overtake us in that way. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. So yeah, I just had a couple of verses here I wanted to share at closing, but I trust it. I want this to be edifying to you all. And it we know the secret to being overcomers is in Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him and exercising that. It's not in putting on 100,000 pounds of armor and sit in the corner. That's not going to work, but he wants us to put on our armor and to march forward, I believe. And to take the gospel of peace everywhere we go. Just read a couple of verses here in Ephesians 3:16-21. This is a my desire for each one here this today, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God bless each one of you.